So good morning. As always, it is a privilege to stand up here on a Sunday morning, and I'm so grateful to Reverend Sylvia for allowing me to share this space, and I'm grateful to all of you for always being so welcoming and loving when I get the chance to do this. And I was thinking about when I first had the opportunity to stand up here, and it was about 15 or 20 years ago. And I had gone to Reverend Sylvia and made an appointment, and I asked if I could do a workshop one day after church because I was going through a coaching program, and that was part of it. And she very graciously said, yes, I could do that. And she said, and you can also do the sermon that day. So I was deathly afraid of public speaking at that time, and my heart stopped and my stomach dropped, and I felt myself starting to shake a little bit. And I said, no, I couldn't do that. And I said, besides, we all love to hear you. You know, you're the one we come for. We want to hear you, and I can't be like you. And she said, they don't want you to be like me. They want you to be like you. And that just gave me the confidence to go out there. So I did it shaking and sweating, but I did it. And, of course, that led to so many other talks and workshops, and it's all because of the kindness of Reverend Sylvia and the graciousness and love of you and the Unity of Washington, D.C. community. So I thank you. Thank you. We never know how our good or our help will come to us, do we? Psalm 121 tells us, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And believing that my help comes from God means I have to have a strong foundation for those beliefs. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, having a strong foundation, how our beliefs and who we are on the inside is the foundation for absolutely everything else. In the Sermon on the Mount, one of the parables Jesus shared is about that foundation. And in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 26, in the English Standard Version, it reads, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. And the rain came, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it didn't fall because it had been built on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So we are told if we build our lives on a solid, reliable foundation, like living our spiritual principles, acting out our core values, trying to do every day what we know to be the right thing, then we will be in good shape. But if we don't, then when the tough times come, and they always do, we will be in danger of collapsing like a sandcastle. Now, Jesus does not say, blessed are those who pick the right sand. He says, build on rock, which suggests that God knows exactly how creative we can be at convincing ourselves that the sand will hold and we're really doing the right thing. Now, this weekend, our nation honors the life and legacy of the great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it is still a national holiday, I might add. We will celebrate tomorrow. Dr. King would have turned 97 on Thursday. We think of all the years we missed with him. But we remember Dr. King as a civil rights leader, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, and a man whose words still echo across generations. But before all that, Dr. King was a preacher, a Baptist minister shaped by scripture, prayer, and a deep conviction that love is stronger than hate, something we really need to cling to now. Love is always stronger than hate. And if there is anything Dr. King's life teaches us, it is this. When the storms come, and they will come, only what is built on a strong foundation can stand. Dr. King believed in justice grounded in love, in nonviolence as spiritual discipline, and the power of character to hold steady when the winds are strong. And in these days of such deep divide and ongoing struggle, that's an important question that his life still asks us. What kind of foundation are we choosing? Dr. King often used the biblical parable of wise and foolish builders in his talks to show the importance of building our lives and our society on a strong moral and spiritual foundation of love and justice. And his message was meant for all of us. And it's a reminder that though we may look different and act differently, come from different places or different circumstances, we all share a fundamental human bond. And a famous quote from him that I love, "We must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools." And another great line of his, "We may have come from different ships, but we're all in the same boat now." Now, we know that the house built on rock and the one built on sand can look identical on a sunny day, just as solid, just as beautiful, just as secure. But when the rain comes and the wind rises and the ground begins to move and that storm is here, that's when we know what we're really made of. And I think it's true for us as individuals and us as a country. And I know it might seem like as a country we have gone backwards over the past year. But the fact is, we haven't gone backwards. Some people in leadership, they've attempted to drag us back, but we're not going anywhere. We know where we stand and what we stand on and what we believe and what is right, and we will stand on that foundation. Dr. King argued that building one's spiritual house on the solid rock of Jesus' love for all of humankind was the only way to withstand the storms of life, things like oppression and injustice and evil. Jesus told us that the storms were always going to come, which is why we need a firm foundation, because faith is not about avoiding the storms. Faith is about what still stands after the storm has done its work. And we know that the storms come in many different ways, storms of injustice, of racism, of violence, and even storms of indifference can be deadly. Now, in the past, I have tried to build my life on things I thought were very strong foundations at the time, things like being right, things like being liked, things like being in control. Turns out, those were not load-bearing structures. Think of all the things that once you thought were so solid that turned out to be not so much. That seemingly great job, that allegedly perfect relationship, the big, beautiful house, and then the relationship didn't work out, or the job turned out to be the worst job imaginable. Or the car, or the house, or the shoes, or the ring did not bring you the joy that you thought it would. Because none of those are about what's going on inside. They're all outside things that we think will heal an inside issue, because it's all an inside job. There's another quote from Dr. King that seems especially timely now. "Our ultimate allegiance is not to institutions or parties or systems, but to the principles of justice, compassion, and truth." That is rock, not sand. Now, for me, the idea of building your house on rock also speaks to character, as Dr. King said. Who am I at my foundation? Who am I at the core of my being? Here's what the spiritual writer Emmett Fox says about the topic. "Life is a reflex of mental states. As far as you are concerned, the character the things will bear will be the character that you first impress upon them. Bless a thing, and it will bless you. Curse it, and it will curse you. If you put your condemnation upon anything in life, it will hit back and hurt you. If you bless any situation, it has no power to hurt you. And even if it is troublesome for a time, it will gradually fade out. So think about that. If we bless a situation, it has no power to hurt us. If I bless a situation, if I continue to believe that good will out, that it's all going to be okay in the end, and if it's not okay, it's not the end, then I will be all right. Character is grounded in the things we do every day. And it helps to have a clear sense of purpose. What is my foundation? Who do I want to be? How do I want to go about my day? What action should I be taking now that is in keeping with the person I want to be? How do I behave with others? We get a lesson in character in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 19. And we all know that line, by their fruits we shall know them. Verse 15 begins, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Character is the part of faith that does not wash away when the storm comes. So who are you when no one is watching? When you're driving and that guy tries to come into your lane, do you let him? How about when you're dealing with customer service on the phone? I thought so. I got an infuriating email last week from my homeowner's insurance telling me they were not going to renew my policy. No explanation, no nothing, and I hadn't even made a claim. They just said, you're done. So I called, rather upset, and I got a very bubbly young woman who was trying to figure out what was happening. And she kept putting me on hold and getting back to me, and finally, 15 minutes later, she came back and said, I don't know if it's a mistake or there's a reason for it, but I have to elevate this to someone else, and someone will call you in a few days. But it's been lovely talking to you, and is there anything else I can help you with? Anything else? She hadn't helped me with anything. And I think I growled no and hung up. But here's the thing. It wasn't her fault. I need to remember that the other person on the phone who is doing what has to be a miserable job is just trying their best. Who am I being when no one is watching? Who am I at the center of my foundation? What about when your friends in the office start to gossip about someone? Do you jump in with what you know about them? Now, I can say I truthfully do not do that, because I'm not in an office anymore. But most of you know that over the years I had many conversations I wish I could take back and things I wish I had not said. But what I can do is watch my behavior from this point forward and remember that God is always watching. And I know the kind of foundation that I want. Jesus doesn't ask how impressive the house we're building looks. He asks us what kind of life we're living, what kind of life our thoughts and actions are producing. Aristotle wrote, "We are what we repeatedly do." Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. And as writer James Clear says in his best-selling book, Atomic Habits, you get what you repeat. And another way of saying that is, you do what you always did, you'll get what you always got. Character is not poured overnight like concrete. It's made brick by brick, choice by choice. Unity tells us that character is about being aligned with truth. When our values, our actions, and our inner life all line up, we can create a foundation that can bear weight. Character is what holds when no one is watching. Character is faith with a backbone. Now, the thing is, there will always be people who push our buttons. And half the time when somebody has pushed my buttons, it's because I have handed them the keyboard. It's like, press here and watch me go. But the question is, how are we going to respond when that happens? This is such a little thing, but I was walking the dog the other day, and we were on the home stretch, and Gracie was very tired and walking very slowly. And this man comes along with his dog, and they're practically jogging up the hill, and he said, "You need to pick up your pace." Well, actually, no, I didn't need to pick up the pace. But I just smiled, because that's what I'm trying to do now, smile and wave. Have a nice one. But in more serious situations, character also means taking a stand and protecting your boundaries. You can be a really good person, and you can be kind to others, and still have boundaries. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. He did not say, lie down, let the guy stomp all over you, then roll over so he can do it again. Case in point. My friend Annie was having a conversation with her friend Sarah, and Sarah had a tendency to give her a few jabs every now and then. And this time, Annie was talking about some troubles her daughter was having at work. And Sarah said something to the effect that while Annie's daughter was a lovely young woman, let's face it, she was never going to set the world on fire. Ouch. And Annie finally decided right then and there that was a pretty big boundary that had been crossed, and they could both enjoy other friends in the future. Dr. King reminds us that a life is revealed in moments of pressure. How do we handle it when we are really up against it? Who are we when push comes to shove? Do we remember that we are a child of God in whom he is well pleased? Or is it more like, God who? And we're not always going to get it right, and that's okay. The spiritual teacher Richard Rohr writes, you come to God not by being strong, but by being weak, not by being right, but through your mistakes. To me, character involves trying to get rid of those things I'm not too proud of. And for me, one of those is judgment. The other day, I was at the drugstore, and I was asking a question of the woman behind the counter who was helping me, and this woman was off to the side on her cell phone, and she comes barging up and yells at the cashier, well, when did you call the doctor? I looked. It's like, was I invisible? And the woman behind the counter tried to help her and went back to me, and then the woman comes up again and says, well, then the prescription should be here. And I am very proud to say I didn't say anything. I did glare very sternly, but I didn't say anything. But I was full of judgment over the rudeness of that woman, and I carried around with me for another day, things I could have said. Then a few days later, I was at the diner, and I was taking a friend out for a birthday lunch, and this friend never wants me to pay, and I wanted to pay. It was her birthday, so when she was talking to someone else, I ran to find the waiter to give him my credit card, and I found him, and he was talking to someone else, and I said, oh, excuse me, but I need to give you my card because, you know, I want to pay when you come with the check, use my card. And the man he was talking to just glared at me like, hello. And I thought, imagine that. Here I'd been carrying around my judgment about that rude woman in the drugstore, and I was the rude woman in the diner. Now, of course, we were both wrong. But the point is, he who is without sin casts the first stone, right? When I'm building my character and my foundation and thinking about who and how I want to be, that little judgment machine can take a rest. Think about the qualities your heroes have. You might think of words like caring, compassionate, courageous, kind, honest. And I think another quality many of our heroes have is empathy. Defined as the ability to deeply understand and share another person's feelings. If we are people trying to follow a spiritual path, then empathy is how we understand someone else's struggle, what they're going through, and we can hold space for them and let them know you are not alone. That was certainly one of Dr. King's great strengths. His courage was rooted in empathy. He did not just fight injustice. He felt the suffering of others deeply, and he did not look away from it. and that empathy shaped both his character and his commitment to nonviolence. And we have seen what happens when there are people in charge without empathy. If you have no feeling for what someone else is going through, you're capable of doing anything because it doesn't mean anything to you. So thank God, literally, thank God that we have empathy. Now I know I have a lot of work to do. I can be a lot better than I am. We can all be a lot better. But the fact that we're here or you're watching online means that you're trying. It means that we find some kind of value in aligning ourselves with a spiritual message and being part of a spiritual community. And the Sermon on the Mount has so much guidance on what our spiritual foundation should look like. Matthew 5, verse 21 through 25 in the New Living Translation reads, "You have heard our ancestors were told, 'You must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment.' But I say, if you're even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell." Ruh-roh. That line about calling someone an idiot, putting you in danger, definitely gave me pause, because heaven knows I have used a lot stronger words than idiot. Which is why I like the line that says, "It's progress, not perfection." And I know I still have a lot of work to do. Speaking of progress and not perfection, you all know that I love my son Alex beyond measure. And you know that he has moved back home for a while, which is just simply wonderful and not without its challenges. Hi, honey. But every year at Christmas, he writes me the most wonderful letter. And it's just full of thanks for all we've done the past year and words of appreciation and love, and it always makes me cry. And this year I got another wonderful letter. But he did add one line this year that I actually thought was perfectly put. He said, "In the months ahead, I hope we both learn to find more peace with each other and with ourselves in this new stage of both of our lives." Isn't that good? But we know what he was really saying, right? In other words, could you please work on your issues and I'll work on mine and we'll meet somewhere in the middle. But it was a perfect way to say it because I always want to be working on my character and my foundation. I always want to try to be making spiritual progress. Jesus invites us to build on rock. Unity reminds us the rock is within us, the presence of divine truth that is just waiting for us to trust it. Dr. King shows us what happens when someone builds their whole life on truth. The storm comes and the house still stands. And the world is changed, not by force, but by faith made visible. One of my favorite daily reflections books is called The Language of Letting Go by Melody Beattie. And this is part of her writing from December 30th, and it's called, appropriately, Laying the Foundation. "The groundwork has been laid. Do you not see that? Don't you understand that all you have gone through was for a purpose? There was a reason, a good reason, for the waiting, the struggle, the pain, and finally, the release. You have been prepared. The same way a builder must first tear down and dig out the old to make way for the new, your higher power has been cleaning out the foundation in your life. Now the foundation has been laid. It is time to move in the furniture and enjoy the fruits of your labor. Congratulations. You had the patience to endure the hard parts. You have trusted and surrendered. Now you will see the purpose." Because what's that line? We live life moving forward, but it's understood looking backward. You never know at the time sometimes why you're going through what you're going through. And then it all becomes clear. And if you would join me now in a closing prayer. Dear God, we know you call us just not to hear your word, but to live it. We thank you for witnesses like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who showed us what it looks like to build a life on the foundation of truth, courage, and love, even when the storms were fierce. Help us examine our foundations, where we have built on comfort, lead us back to conviction. Where we have built on silence, give us the courage to speak. Where we have built on fear, root us again in love. Make us people whose faith can stand when the rain falls and the winds blow. We pray this in your name, dear Jesus, the rock beneath our feet. Amen. Thank you.